You're as tall as anything. I know I'm going to deliver here in a minute. Oh, yeah. Well, amen. Take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Now, I'm not nervous about preaching to you folks about music at all, but I'm nervous because I don't want to blubber in front of you again. But I want to thank you for what you've done for David. Not giving enough Kleenex. You got a rag or something? I mean, really, on the other side of the country, and David's over here being this Marine, and for him to be able to come down here gave me a lot of peace. You know, we had our concerns because we didn't know him, we didn't know the pastor, and every dad wants his own son to be at home helping in the ministry right then and there, amen. So, always had my concerns and fears and everything. I know David he's been independent since the day he was born, but you folks really were good to have. You were some examples for me to preach back in the out west there about how important it is for the church family, for the people. And David got out of boot camp and got an SOI when he had 20 kings. I gotta have a rag, brother. This Kleenex isn't gonna do it. You guys up there, I know you got something that's thicker than this Kleenex. Okay? Bring down a. Even I'll even take a used handkerchief if I need to. Hey. When he got out of boot camp is that so? Oh, I was about ready to take this coat off, but I guess I can't then. How's that? When he got out of boot camp, oh, there we go. Oh, man. I hope it isn't silky, but I can't complain. The silk just spreads it around, doesn't absorb it. Oh, this is nice. This is like home. Red flag, something to do with this. Now, I want you to know, the only thing southern in me is Bojangles. So I hope you can understand even what I'm saying. I practiced a little southern thing, and it just came out rude, so I can't even do that. When David got out of boot camp and got into his SOI thing, and he got into where he came, the world really went after him. He just clobbered all over. And he told us, he called us on the phone one time, and he was about ready. He was out of it. I mean, I've never seen this kind of stuff before in the world. You know, I could just tell he was really hurting. And then he had to hang up. What? How do you call your son in the Marines when he's having such a low time? And God just kind of said, you just stay out of the way. The same God is in him is in me, and he takes care of us, takes care of him, and said, Lord, he's all yours. And it was really a peaceful thing when it got to that point. And then he had a choice. He had to choose between the book and the world. And he didn't choose a church. He didn't choose a religion. I hope he was brought up enough to know that, well, you know, at least it's the book. And you don't know where your kids are going to go, amen, when they get to that point. And he chose the book. I was excited about that, obviously. And then right after that, a church family down there in San Diego stepped in and just kind of had him come over for some things, and I was there for him at the right time. And he had the book, and he had a couple phone calls from his dad every once in a while, but not very much. But he had the Lord. But, you know, he still needed some people. Amen. He needed some people. And they were there for him. So he comes out here to the other side of the world, and he gets under here where a long ways away from home, and it turns out that you folks are there for him, too. Still stayed to the book. And I don't know if Jessica had anything to do with it, but he did hang around here quite often, I understand. In fact, last time we were here, he asked her to marry him. Next time we came, he married her. I guess I know what I'm coming back for. You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. So I just want to thank you for that. I really do. You've been good to us. Thanks for letting us stay in the proper chamber back there. And thanks for getting the heat and the air conditioning fixed this time around. We weren't complaining last time, but it was just a joyful thing. Thanks for getting rid of that fish smell. That was nice to get that out. You know, I suppose if we hadn't been near you folks, it would have been such, you'd either let that fish smell just kind of fade away. But no, Carol, you were getting rid of that fish smell just for us, weren't you? Yeah. So anyway, if you can understand, I don't hack and I don't draw or anything like that, but if you can understand this, a Yankee here tonight, I'd like to tell you some things about music. Now, if you got your Bibles, you turn to Revelation chapter 3, amen? And it's right around verse 20. I want to show you something down there. I feel really crowded or whatever, because there's so much to talk about when it comes to music. It's just unreal what God has shown me over all these years. And I suppose I should tell you a little bit of background. I don't know, 25 years teaching music in public school, Christian school, trying to get the Bible out of that whole thing. I got a chance to teach in a Christian school up in New York. And I remember getting down and said, Lord, show me what I should teach people, to teach these kids about what's in this Bible about music. I had no idea. I just figured I'm in a Christian school. It's time to teach what the Bible says about music. And it just on a daily basis, it was unreal what came out of that Bible. It isn't at all what I would imagine most folks are thinking of when you talk about music. When you talk about music to a Christian. And I hope, if nothing else tonight, I can at least leave you thirsty for what that Bible says about music. That's my whole point. I don't want to go out on the road and talk to people about music. I want to get people into their Bibles about music. And that's why it was so enjoyable for me to listen to your pastor this morning preach what he did, because what he drew up there was the heart, and that's missing in a lot of people. But his whole point, in fact, you can't even see it from back there, because I know I couldn't. But I don't want you to see this. I don't want you just to see this blue line right here. This line comes out of the Bible. Your heart and your music. And like he was saying this morning, most folks just kind of get caught up in all this stuff up here. And before they know it, music is probably the number one feeler with people. I mean, no matter how you feel, you can find music for it. If you want to feel a certain way, you can find music for it. And if you're not careful, and I'll show you some things, I hope by the time the night's over here, it better becomes from the Scriptures or you're in trouble. Yeah. And I don't know the time Christianity has ever been in this much trouble. Yeah. Not that I've been around for all of it, but I've read enough about it. And yet, if these truly are the last days, and all the preachers preach that, amen. These are the last days. These are the last days. They've been the last days since I was first saved a long time ago. But you know what? It could be the last days. It could be the last day. You're singing about tomorrow. You know, there are a lot of folks in this world today that are not going to see tomorrow. And it could happen to you. It could happen to me. Got a pretty good chance it could happen to me. But I don't see Wednesday. Got to go through those airplane flying trips and all that kind of stuff. I don't think much of that. I'd rather have a head-on collision than a 30,000-foot fall. Wouldn't you? You know? And to get by the security is kind of irritating to people too anymore. But anyway, let's jump into this thing. Let's pray to get this thing started here. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, that again, that these folks have been so good to David and to our family. And I know they're going to continue to be good to anybody, Lord, that comes this way. And I thank you for it. I thank you for what you've taught me. And I thank you, Lord, for if we can get some blessings out of your Bible here tonight, Lord, about music. I pray that we would plant a seed tonight that would continue to grow. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to thank these folks. I'm not good at that, and I just want everybody here to know, Lord, that you had an effect on their walk to somebody else. I pray, Lord, now that we're able to keep my mind on the sermon and on the work that you would have done here, and we just thank you for it and ask you just to bless the next few minutes here. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 3. Now, we probably know where we are now. Look down to verse 20 is what I want you to see here. And if we realize we're in the Laodicean church age, I do, but I have no doubt about it, amen. I don't think you folks do either. Okay? And so what we see here, we see the last moments of some things here historically before some things take place. And look at verse 20. Now this is the Lord talking here, and he said, go to 19, I suppose. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. Now verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, I preach that that thing has a lot to do with a saved person there. Now, you can apply that thing for salvation, and I'm sure you can. I've heard it done and everything, but I want you to see that if we're talking about the Laodicean church age, we're talking about his people. If we're talking about down in verse 19, as many as I love, you're talking about his people. And if that's the case, then verse 20, look what he's doing in these last days. He just wants to fellowship. That's it. He wants to sup with us, amen? Now, I'll tell you, the Lord has done marvelous things for us, for me, for David. It was fun. I got to hear David do his five-minute message the other day that he preached here on. The Lord's been good to him. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, David, you're going to get up there, you're going to thank him for your truck, you know, and your house and your, you know, your computer, all the things that we get. Amen. And I'm a little nervous. And I listened to that thing, and he kind of preached part of a sermon that I preached about. The Lord has come already. Almost. And if we sit down and we start realizing what the Lord has done, far beyond the thing. Matter of fact, I'm not totally sure the Lord has given us all this junk that we have in our homes. So if the Lord's been that good, I was reading in Ephesians, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. He's been tremendously good to us. And yet we look at chapter 1 of Ephesians, and we look at verse 13. We see where it says, in whom ye also trusted, that's talking about trusting in Christ, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Earnest. Now, when you buy a house, you have to give them a few bucks as earnest payment. And that the little amount of money that you give a realtor is not a whole lot of money for what that house is going to cost you. Right? That's what the earnest is all about. It's just a little bit of what is due. So if we realize all the things that the Lord has done for us, and I know there's folks in this church, in our church back home, where none of us know what the Lord has done for those other people, health-wise, spiritual-wise, sins being washed, well, the stuff David preached on. And yet if we just realize that that's just the earnest, that's just a little bit of what he's got coming, where it says there, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen? That's earnest, just a little bit. So what I want you to think about tonight is I want you to realize that all that the Lord has done for us is still just a little bit. And yet all he's trying to do is he's trying to just talk to you. All he wants in these last days is to fellowship with you. He wants to sup with you. Now we know in John chapter 14 that the Lord abides in us. Amen. So we haven't got that to deal with anymore. That's a marvelous thing. But don't you think that's kind of rude to let someone in and then not talk to them? Especially somebody who's done so many marvelous things. I have a hard time talking with you folks because really, I don't know what it is. I just blubber a lot. Every time you've seen me, I've been crying here. But in the first 10 minutes of church a couple of weeks ago, David and Jessica get up here and start singing this song, and I just crumbled down here. I mean, the tension for me was great because what kind of a church is my son getting involved in? And it just crashes. Come back this time, I'm up here facing it, crashing all over again. And I'd like to spend the rest of this night here just talking to you about how marvelous you've been to my son. Our son, I'm sorry. You have a lot to do with. Nothing better than a praying mom, amen. So, I just want you to be thinking through this whole rest of this message here tonight that what the Lord wants is he wants to fellowship. That is his desire, is to have you sit down and just talk to him. And I don't think that's apart from the fact that if you want to hear from him, you need to read your Bible. Amen. I mean, that's where it's at. We know in Timothy it talks about those are the words of Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe that, then God really nails you hard. But I won't talk about music tonight. So, you know that you pray to the Lord a lot. And I bet that some of you folks even pray to him and you don't have to. You just do. And you fellowship with him. Well, fellowship is a two-way street. And what has this got to do with music? This has a, a horrible amount to do with music. If you just stay with me. Now, am I talking to a Yankee still? Have I picked up a little bit from y'all? Y'all. Did you hear that? Y'all. I got it. Collards, how's that? How many here really like collards? I mean, really do. I can't believe it. Mike, look at that. No offense. Would you be offended if I told you I just gagged looking at them? Amen. If anybody needs to leave, I guess this is your time because I'll probably get worse here. Chicken. How many of you like chicken? You have to because that's all they have in the restaurants here. Just chicken. Chicken. You want yours burnt? You want yours light? You know, whatever. It's just chicken. Who was telling me today that they're starting to sell chicken feet? Who was telling me about that today? That they're selling chicken feet and people like to just... Yeah, chicken feet. We're hurting. To think that we got to go as far down as eating chicken feet to be happy. Anyway, let's get back on the point here. Revelation chapter 3:20 tells us that in the last days, Jesus Christ wants to fellowship with us. So he's just yearning to hear from us. Okay, now let's look at these two major issues real quick like here. When you get involved in a church, there's a lot of things that bother you. Amen? And things happen and different people get upset about different things and whatever. But as a pastor, I've come to realize, I believe that there's two major issues that will keep you in a church or not. And one of them, obviously, is God's words. Depending on what church you go to, you're going to be looking at what do they do with God's words. Do they correct them? Do they ignore them? Do they reject them? What do they do? So number one issue, which I won't get in here tonight because it doesn't seem to me like that is a problem here. I was sitting down here this morning going, you know, this guy is all right. He even calls it the book. Amen. Yeah, I like that. I thought that was a neat thing. So, David, if you're going to ever listen to this thing in a couple of years or whatever, so far so good. Amen. So what are we going to do with that book? Now, how we rightly divide that book is what's really important. That's number one. So we're concerned about what words come to us. They better be from God. Even what your pastor has to say better be from God, better be from this book. Even what Melody has to say better be from this book. You know, and make sure it goes all right. Now the second thing, it just seems fair that what the other half of that issue is what we send back to Him. What do we do with the praises? So the issues are, for a Bible-believing Christian, are God's words and our praises. Anything else is just called church stuff. I've never seen so many Baptist churches as I've seen coming out here. I've never seen. You guys, you folks, I think it used to be called the Bible Belt. I call it the church belt out here. The Bible's gone. But there's churches everywhere. So, obviously, some people are getting upset about things that are not worth getting upset over. But you better get upset if your pastor changes the words from God. And then he has all the right in the world to get upset at you for changing your words back to him. In the praise department for this church. What you do in your home, that's for you fathers to deal with. So, we also look back a little history-wise here, and we see that the main issue with the Bible, at one time, was an obvious battle. The Dark Ages. You homeschool kids know that, the Dark Ages, when the devil tried to use a bunch of people to get rid of the physical Bible. All it did was made them stronger. Didn't take long for the devil to realize, this is not working. He changes his plan, he starts to go southern. And now people have had their Bible not taken away, they've had their Bible replaced. Okay, so you know that. I'm not going to get into the King James thing. I mean, I'm just setting the ground here for music. You'll see. And so, the thing about the praises, the music is the same thing. There are some obvious problems with music in churches. There really are. I really don't think that there's anybody in here that doesn't have some music somewhere that you would not want in your church here. But I am convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, with my experience of talking with people, that y'all would have different views of what you like and what you don't like in your church for music too. So the devil can't take the music out. He's not going to get rock music in here. He's not going to get jazz and you just name it, that kind of a thing. It just isn't going to work. You're a Bible-believing church. You're King James. He knows there's something strange going on there in his eyes. Amen. So he's going to have to do something sneaky with you folks instead. he's going to have to go about this thing in a subtle manner. Well, we got Christian rock then. You know, we've got New Age music. We've got bluegrass. And we got what I call Southern Holler. Oh, man, you are treading on dangerous. Now, when I first started preaching in Washington, I used to preach a few things. I had to duck once in a while. I have to get just because I could feel it coming. And I don't mean to do that. I'm not in any position to pick on anybody for their Southern music. Look, God is not Southern. God is not Northern.
Amen.
And I realize that I am in dangerous territory. I might start talking about the Southern holler. So that's all I'm going to say about it. I'm done. Maybe. What we have to realize is it's got to come from here.
Amen.
And we kind of break up into different segments of America in this little heart here. I said America. That was almost America. That was almost Southern. I almost got that. And we got everybody got their music. Boy, now that's a good one. Everybody has their music that they like. There's conservative people. There's classical people. There's people that have a beautiful voice like Brother Grogan. I keep calling you Grogan. Anybody here know Peach Dragon? The old Peach Dragon junk from the old Disney wasted years? That's not you. Anyway, he sings beautiful. Doesn't he sing beautiful? Oh, hang on. You just have to sit there and take it. That's the way it is. I do believe from what I've seen that music has gone from the heart to the feet. Almost everywhere. It really has. The music has gone from the soul and the spirit to the flesh. And the hard thing about this is most people don't realize that. And I'm not going to stand up here like some guy in a high ladder or something that says, now you folks, you all need to get what I'm showing you. Because that isn't the way it is at all. I just want to show you what this Bible says about music.
Amen.
That's all I want to do. Luke preliminary. Go to Luke chapter 8. Now, if we know, don't forget, that the Lord wants fellowship. He just wants to sup with us. All He wants to do. That's what He says. I'm knocking. I'm already in, but I want to sit down. I want to talk with you too. So keep that in mind. And then the fact that the Bible is a big issue, but that's not what I'm talking about here. Now we're going to talk about praises. We're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about music. Now, Luke chapter 8, verse 12, the devil himself has two big issues. Among probably a bunch of other ones as well. Luke chapter 8, verse 12, talks about the fact that he wants to keep somebody from being saved. That's his goal. He wants to get somebody. He wants people to get tricked and deceived or whatever. He wants to keep them, lest they be what? Does it say there? Saved. And he knows he's got to get the word out of their heart. So he's got to do something to this book, or they'll probably get saved. So what has he done? He's changed all the Bibles, etc., etc., etc. Well, we're not going to park in that thing. Go to Revelation chapter 16. So we know the devil wants to keep people from getting saved. We know that's an issue. If we go to Revelation chapter 16, let's look at verse 14. Another one of his issues, another one of his goals, where he says, talking about the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. See, he wants to get everybody together to fight against the Lord. Well, you get saved, and then he lost somebody in the army. Wouldn't that be just frustrating to find out that he still used you anyway? Down here? I mean, for the big battle, you're going to be on the right side. But that's one of those things in Matthew where you find out that, you know, I didn't know you. Wouldn't that be an awful thing to hear? And wouldn't that be an awful thing for the devil to say to you, yeah, I lose you. You're going off with the Lord now, but thanks for all that you did for me down there. I'd hate to hear that one. So we know that the devil's got two issues, and yet look at the two issues. One is about salvation. The other, he wants to gather everybody he can against the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the Lord Jesus Christ doing? He wants to talk with you. He's not worried about that old critter up there. Go to John chapter 17. This is what I call, probably other preachers do too, the real Lord's Prayer. John chapter 17, let's look at verse 13 here first. Here's this Lord, He's knocking on the door, He wants to fellowship with us. And while the devil's out there trying to deceive people and get them so they're not saved, and nowadays so they think they are, but they're not. And he's trying to get out there and he's trying to get an army together, and he's tricking people to think that even though they do belong to the Lord, he's still using them down here in this battle zone. While all that's taking place, verse 13 here says here, "And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." The Lord wants us to have His joy. And here's the devil going after him like he's going after him and tricking people and deceiving people. And all he wants is he wants you. He's already got you. But he still wants you to have his joy. Oh, man. He really does care. He really does care. Let's look here at verse 1. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." He's concerned about us, and he's concerned about the Father. He's not worried about the devil, all this junk that's going on. Just keep that in mind here. Now, I can't do this tonight because it's just another sermon, but I want you to think about this. This is on another trail here just for a second here. I do a sermon that's called Music the Great Thief. Music as the Great Thief. Satan can use your music as a weapon against you. I'd love to give you the scriptures and preach this thing tonight, but that's not where we are when David calls me up and says, "Hey, guess what, Dad? We'll just have to get our plane tickets, and I hope I can come back and preach this one then," or something, you know. If David knows the more I can preach, the more kids he has, I guess, you know, whatever. You know, he's won how many to have, and so, whatever. The devil can use music to rob you of the work of the Holy Spirit. The devil can use music to rob you of the power of God. Now, from here on out, I'm not going to say the devil can use music. I'm going to say your music. The music that you like, because you probably haven't studied the scriptures on music. I'm not saying that judgmentally. I'm just kind of assuming something there at this point. But from this point on, I'm going to say your music can rob God of His glory. Your music can rob you of your fellowship with God. Your music can rob you of your personal meditations. Your music can rob you of the truth. Your music can rob people of citizenship. Your music can rob you of God's final counsel. Your music can rob you of a second set of blessings that Paul preaches about. And your music can rob God and Jesus Christ of the praise and worship due them. Amen. Oh, but not my music, Pastor. I guess you're the pastor here, sorry. Not my music. My music's fine. How do you know that? I just know that. I like it. God must like it. Gives me joy. I enjoy it. I've studied hard. I practiced hard. I play the right kind of music. I know I do. Based on what? Just take your Bibles. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Common questions. And I'm talking to you tonight because I don't know you. I just know where music's been going lately. Because it's done that with me, it's done that with people all over the country, and with my little website that I have, which by the way is www.tushi1611.org. If I could change it to that, that'd be all right. Tushi1611 for you all. And then I'm trying. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's look at verse 10. Now, we ought to know, I would imagine, you understand what chapter 14 is all about, speaking in tongues, etc., etc., but I want you to look at verse 10, and let's look at this thing here. It says here, "There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification." Signification. Take your pick. "Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me." Is that what yours says? Yeah. Isn't that neat that we can all look at the same thing? Now, what that tells me there is, there's a voice out there. Music is the universal voice. I think you've all heard that. But if you don't believe that, let me show you for an example here. What is that? Amazing. What's this one? I do that in Japanese. Isn't that wild? What's that? That's in French. I didn't know you folks knew so much different, so many different languages around here. Spanish. Sorry. Didn't mean to do that. So there's a voice there. And I'm reading that stuff in the Corinthians there, and it says, listen, if I do not understand that, if I don't know the meaning of that voice, I'm like a barbarian to that person that's doing that music. And it also says, he's like a barbarian unto me. Is that the way you want to be? Do you want somebody to be able to manipulate you without you knowing it? Let's get even closer than that. Do you want somebody to be manipulating your children without you knowing it? Now, these are all questions that you'd have to see over the next couple weeks and days of things as we preach about music, which isn't going to take place. Hope I leave you with a desire to learn about this music thing. There's something going on. And we're falling for it. Unless, of course, we stay in that mind. That's the language we need to know about. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I can sit down at that piano, and I can make some folks cry. Not always just because it's so bad. But you can play the kind of music that'll make some people sad. They'll tear up a little bit. You can play some music on that thing to where you can make some people happy who were sad. You can get people excited enough to go to war. You can get people, you can just do things to people with music. You just can. And whoever can play music, David was a cunning player. He was a cunning harp player. In other words, David knew how to play that harp to do what he needed to get done with that harp. He didn't just go up there and play away. You kids that are taking piano lessons, if any of adults are taking piano lessons, are where to play that thing. Study. Play skillfully, the Bible says. And you can do that. There's a purpose for that, which I can't get into that tonight either. I'll tell you this, you don't ever want your music to take the place of preaching.
Amen.
But that's what's happening.
Right.
Skip all this kind of stuff and go over here, and we're going to see that this is what's important in churches today. They could care less about this thing down here, and as a result, different kinds of music bringing in the crowds.
Right.
If you want to get a bigger church, quit this King James stuff. And quit doing this nice conservative choir music. Bring in some keyboards. Get some things going. Get a younger pastor, probably. You know? You could probably do it, Dave. You know? Just get up here and just have a good time. And you would have more people. You would have more people. You'd have more offerings. You could probably do all sorts of stuff with some money. You could probably do your own soup kitchen. You could probably, man, you could do all sorts of things. We just need some more money. Dave, see to it. He had a good point there. You're the social you want to raise? Go give me some. Just try some of that music up. We haven't got any musicians here. You don't need to have musicians nowadays. Just get a tape.
That's right. Right.
And you folks would never have an unsaved musician up here, would you? Never. Well, when somebody sings to a background tape, chances are there's some unsaved musicians in that background.
That's right.
Just some things to consider. Oh, I just... So much. We're not leaving until Tuesday. Come to church tomorrow. You know, part two. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4. What are we doing for time? Not bad. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to look here at verse 17. We are going to get to the music particulars in the Bible tonight. Not all of it, because there's over 500 different verses about music. How many have read them all? How many have read through their Bible? Okay, you've read them all, man. You know, but how many have gone back and looked up those 500 verses specifically looking for music? What does the Bible say about music? No hands. Brother Dave? Don't you have to be an associate here? You're working on it. From what I've seen, you're working on lots of things. Oh no, that's right, that's right. No, I didn't mean that. I wasn't talking about that at all. Every time I preach, my wife gets embarrassed. There wasn't going to be one tonight. That's the one. Quickly, going to verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. We have the mind of Christ, amen?
Amen.
Right here in my hand. One of these days it's actually going to be in here. I mean, it's there spiritually, but I really don't have it yet as far as second-to-second thinking. Have you all noticed that in your lives too?
Yeah.
You do have to check every now and then. So one of these days we're going to have the mind of Christ, actually have it in a physical form. But for now it's right here. And if we don't stay in this Bible, it says right here, let's not walk as other Gentiles walk, because they walk in the vanity of their mind. Here's what happens to a lost person if they're walking in the vanity of their mind, which they are doing. Their understanding is darkened in verse 18. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Oh. Let me throw this at you. If you haven't read your Bible about music, then you're basing all your conclusions on the vanity of your mind. And you can apply that to anything you want. Any subject you want. If you have not studied this Bible and seen what the Bible says specifically about that subject, then you're no different than a lost person when it comes to that subject. So if that's the case, let's look at this from the standpoint of music. I would venture to say that there's probably a number of people in here that really don't care what the Bible says about music. I can't play the piano, I can't do a flute, I can't play a trumpet, I know I can't sing, I can't do anything, I just come here and whatever. Well, you're probably the most one susceptible to the devil sneaking in. And that's just a normal thing. It's not a put down or a slam. That's just where things are at. If there's something you ought to be really concerned about in these days, you're King James Bible people, amen?
Amen.
Then you better start looking at the music. Because we have seen what's going on in the King James only Bible believing churches. He can't get them through their families. He can't get them through the pastor. He can't get them through doctrinal stuff. But he can still mess with that church with music, because I've come to realize that most people hated their music class if they've ever even had one.
Amen.
How many here have had music training? Man, if I was the devil, I'd know how to go after this church real quick. I'd be bringing, what's the point? What are you getting at? Don't you remember that Jesus Christ is knocking on your door to fellowship with you? And the devil doesn't have you. But wouldn't that be the devil's joy to pollute your praises back to him? He can't get your soul, but he could sure mess with you. Think that's possible? Let's go down here to verse 18. Let's look at this from the standpoint of music. Okay, is your understanding darkened about music? Man, I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about with music. That's because your understanding is darkened. You haven't read your Bible about music. And again, I'm not looking down. Hardly anybody has. Most pastors have no clue what they do about it. They go the conservative route based on the vanity of their mind.
Amen.
That's the way it works out. Go to the next point. Being alienated from the life of God. Well, you know that you can't lose your salvation, so you can't be totally separated from God. But your fellowship can be hurting. You know. I mean, what if your kids come home with rock music and crank that thing up? You don't even have fellowship with them. So you won't let them do it. You know what you feel like when you go into these restaurants, which we've done plenty of times since you've been here, and the music is gone. Yeah. Well, we went to the Lion King, the Lion Den, though. What do you call this? Food Lion. Food Lion. The other day. And the music was so loud that we had to shout at each other. Hey, do we need, we're in the same aisle. Do we need some milk? Went to the main clerk lady up there, says at night when they're getting ready to close. I said, you know, the music is so loud back there that we had to shout at each other. Now, how'd she say? She said, yeah, doesn't bother me. I'm like, what's the problem with you, buddy? I mean, doesn't bother me any. Is that what you want to present to the Lord with your praises? Remember all the stuff, remember where we started? All that He's done for you. And way beyond the fence. And the devil's trying to get some souls to stay with Him, keep them. Well, we can't do that. He got you. Well, we know the Lord is trying to fellowship with you. And so what are you going to put back? You're going to put back what the devil's taught you? Well, I'm not going to do that. You know what the Bible says about music? Well, no. Devil's got you. I'll try to show you tonight, before the night's over, but before the time is over here, that devil knows how to use good music too, by the way. This has nothing to do, the whole issue is not good and bad music. That's not the big issue. That's what most parents try to fight, is because they know how the rock music feels, so they don't want, and it's loud. So then your Christian kid grows up with Christian music, and it's loud, and it feels good, but it's got Christian words. No. I gotta go back to this one. Amen. Oh, I could have a whole night with this stuff. It's amazing what's happening to your children.
Amen.
Now, how many have children in here tonight? Your kids are under attack. How many of your children, raise your hands again. How many of you make sure they get the King James Bible? Oh, amen. How many of you know how to handle the music issue? Okay. You know what you don't. You know what you do that if you don't know how to handle the music issue? Get rid of the music. What does it say back there in Corinthians? That if you don't understand the voice, you're like a barbarian. They're a barbarian to you. You want some barbarians taking care of your children for you? No way. So if you don't understand about this voice, I would suggest that we get to learn something about it. That's the way to deal with it. Okay, it took you 25 minutes to say that. Had to set the flavor here. Go back to 19 here again now. Chapter 4. Ephesians 1. Where are we at? We're in Ephesians chapter 4. There we go. Verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, the flesh. You know what people say today about Bibles? About the Bible issue? Whatever. I mean, it was 5-10 years ago, you could have a good argument with somebody about the Bible. You could show them some things about the different versions, they'd go, yeah, I never knew that. I bet you some of you folks were like that 10-15 years ago. Somebody in here showed you the Bible, the King James thing, and you didn't know that verse was missing. And now you know that verse is missing, you went with the Bible that's got the verse.
No.
That's what you did. Who being past feeling, how many even care about the music thing? I don't care. I know what I like. That's because they're going to the vanity of their mind. They're past feeling. They don't care anymore. To work out uncleanness to grievous. Now here's where you step in. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him. See, if you know what this Bible says about music, you are not working by the vanity of your mind. You know what Christ has taught you. He says, oh, but ye have not so learned Christ. Not you. But he puts that big if there. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him. Right here. So, unless you know your Bible, what it says about music, you're walking in the vanity of your mind, you're doing your own opinions, and the devil's just messing with you. And you don't even know it. Because you don't even know the issue. And again, it's not. I hate, don't mean to keep saying you. That's everywhere you go anymore. That's everywhere you go. Okay, with that in mind, let's go to Psalm chapter 40. Now, you said 9 o'clock, right? You said 9 o'clock. I set records all over in different churches. Man, never anybody preached that long. Psalm chapter 40, verse 3. And there's a bunch of verses that have this in it, but it talks about, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. If I was a modern Christian, I would change that word, a new song, I would put in their music, and I would go out and I'd try to win people over with my music. I tried that a number of years ago. That was going to be my goal when I first got into this stuff, teaching music back in that church in New York, and got involved with a man in Ohio, and I said, this is what we're going to do. My band kids are pretty good, and I can do all right. I like to win people the Lord with this music. And he said, that's not scriptural. That's not the way it goes. That's where he brought in that stuff about 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, 18, 19, 20, about preaching. Preaching, preaching, preaching. You're not going to win people over with music. This isn't what that's talking about. Their whole testimony is a new song. If God wanted you to have a new music, in that verse, he would have said a new music. You throw out your rock and you go to some other style. Because what's going on in all these different churches? Different churches have different styles. Even not only now can you find the church with the Bible you want, you can find a church that's got the kind of music you want. And neither one of them are giving God any glory. And that's that devil. There's King James churches out there that their music is just going down so fast. It's unreal what's happening. It's unreal. But it is so real. Well, let's get that little blurb right there. I can just tweak that in a second. Let's go to Psalm 28. This is all a preliminary. I'm going to show you a couple of verses about music and hopefully leaving you thirsty to find out some more. Like I said, turn to 2:16-11 for y'all. You can read more about it later, I suppose. You won't find that website anywhere, but Psalms 28, verse 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, unto my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Boy, isn't that something? I mean, Lord, please don't be silent to me, because if you are, if I don't hear from you, I'm going to be like those lost people. I'm going to be like those people down in the pit. I don't want to be that way. Lord, please talk to me. Amen. And all he has to say to us today is, oh, it's right here. It's right here. And you know, what do we tend to do sometimes, quite often, as a matter of fact? We tend to choose to go that way. If you don't want to read your Bible about music, if you don't want to read your Bible about any other kind of subject that somebody preaches to you or just God lays on your heart, then you're choosing to be like them that go down into the pit. By choice. Now, I've heard your pastor preach a good King James message this morning, and I was sitting there thinking, okay, good. Now I can talk about this a little bit more comfortable. Is that what you want to do? Is that when you sit down and you either turn on the television or turn on a video game or turn on whatever you turn on, and the Lord impresses on your heart you can read your Bible? I bet you've had that happen. Amen. And I'll get to it in a couple minutes. I want to read this thing about Saddam being captured. So you read the newspaper and a little piece of news and all that, and then you never get your Bible read. Amen. I'm not even talking about reading your Bible 10 pages a day or 5 pages. I'm talking about opening your Bible, looking for something. Amen. I'm talking, for me, I'm talking about looking for what the Bible says about music. What does God say about music? Is this guy all wet? No, I don't think you'll read it tonight. You're choosing to go down into the pit like everybody else. And they're down there begging for God's words. Even Job said, man, if I had your word, if I had his words, I'd turn with him everywhere I went. And then God says to us, I've given you the words. Job would love to have had a book in his hand like this. Those guys out here, they're pleading for, Lord, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. And what's going on in the last days? He's pleading with us to fellowship with him. Oh. And see, that bothers me, personally, because I know what he's done for me. I know what he's done for our family. I know what he's done for our kids. I know that where I've been as a father, this shouldn't be going on today with David. Some reason David chose to go the route he went. All the times that David was having some rough days in the Marines, I was really having some rough days. I said, David, I can hardly handle it. He writes back, we email almost every day, which is a real joyful thing, amen. And he writes back and says, Dad, I'm the one over here. Relax, I'm making it. I'm hanging in there. And a father just does that. But you know what God showed me one day? The reason I'm having fears for David is because I know what I would have done over there. I wouldn't have made it. I signed up for the army one day. I was this close, had a pen in my hand, and then the guy said, "Oh, I got a video for you. Want to watch this?" "Oh, sure." And it was boot camp. I had just started teaching. And I said, "No, wait a minute. I'm signing up to be in the band. I'm going to play trumpet in the army band." He says, "You got to go through boot camp, kid," you know, kind of a thing. God's been good. Oh, God's been good to us. You know? Grandparents, four times, who knows how many more. You know? He's been so good. And it's a burden, I guess. It's a burden for me to see us King James people going down the road that we're going down. Boy, you should have been talking about a lot of generalities tonight. I'm just hoping that you get the burden. It's not just a burden for the churches and stuff. It's the burden because that very Savior that did all that He's done for you and me and your children and your grandchildren, and I imagine your great-grandchildren, He's trying to talk to you. And we're too busy. If we're not too busy, and the devil's messing with us, with a voice that we don't know anything about. And the Lord warns us, if you don't know anything about this stuff, like a barbarian. You've already said that. I'm saying it again. Where are you at with your music tonight? Let's go to Acts chapter 17. This is all introduction. The main sermon is very short. I'm not going to give a conclusion because I hope there's more. But yes, you're a long ways from Washington, though. Acts chapter 17:11. Here's your goal. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Well, so far I really don't expect you to get excited about what I'm talking about here, because I haven't done much for music about the Bible. I've just shown to you what God says about how important this thing is. And the way I do things back in Tushy, I'd probably preach that introduction all over again if I could tell by your faces you still weren't quite getting it. Because see, I don't have near so many faces to look at. You guys got more greeters than we have men in our church. So I could do the whole church congregation right there in your hallway out there and enjoy that thing. Let me show you some things in the Bible about music. Now, I bet you've seen verses in the Bible about harps, singing praises. There's a couple places. Chronicles, by the way, if your pastor ever says to you, if you can't sleep, read the book of Chronicles. I hope he doesn't ever say that. There's some marvelous stuff in the book of Chronicles about music. There's hundreds and thousands of army guys out there in the desert playing harps and cymbals. Picture this. You know, the Bible is a real story. I mean, it's not just made up stuff. That really happened, you know.
Amen. Right.
I think it's 337,000 or 400,000 guys out there in the desert of all places. I'm sure they got their SKSs and their AK-47s and stuff over there on their camels. But for right now, they're out there playing their harps and cracking their cymbals and playing the tabernacle and stuff, praising God. Picture that. Isn't that wild? There's all sorts of things in that Bible about music. There's things in the Bible about instruments, different use, different instruments, the way they were used. The trumpet is just like a preacher, and a preacher is just like a trumpet, by the way. In all the years that I taught music, when I first started teaching years ago, all the boys wanted to play trumpets. By the time I was done teaching band, all the girls wanted to play trumpets. The guys wanted to play, what do you think? Not that that's a problem. I got to make sure that in case any flute guys in here. My best flute player in all my high school bands was a guy. Don't want to have those. They'll do it. It's just something I noticed. You play a trumpet, you got to aim it at them, and you do that thing, and that music goes right to them. And God talks all the time about a trumpet. Never once does God ever play a bagpipe. Amen. Or a clarinet either, for that matter. We got clarinet players in here? Anybody, who plays clarinet in here? Well, let's do this. Let's look at Colossians 3:16. Let's park a few verses here. I just got a few minutes to go here. We're not going to go to all those other verses. There's bunches of them. Matter of fact, if you go back into Chronicles, you'll find all the names of the musicians in David's band. And he tells you what role they're in and what they're playing. Well, what's the point of that? I have no idea. But there it is. God wanted it in there. Here's the names of his musicians. There's a place in the Bible where a marching band comes up over the hill and the enemy runs away. Now, I've directed marching bands for years, and there are times I've had some schools that when they walked down the street, that was a good time to go get a hot dog. But this particular group won a battle with their plan. There's places in the Bible that talks about musicians prophesied. See, now that what it looks like. What did they prophesy? No, they didn't prophet either, because musicians never make enough money. The musicians prophesied, probably. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, okay. If I could do my message on Shem, Ham, and Japheth, I could tell you where we are in history, in time, what's coming up because of what's happened and where we're at. It's a marvelous little thing to see. Start with Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and we can end up, we know where we are today, and we can even know what's coming tomorrow. You know, just by the study of music, nothing up here for music, you can find out that the Lord just isn't far away. Just by looking at music. You can look through the history of Christian music in America. And you can find out how did America go from the Philadelphian church age, where God opened the doors, and those guys couldn't even shut them. Can you imagine going out with tracts, and you run out of tracts, and people still come up to you and ask you, where do you go to church? What kind of Bible you got? Tell me, how do I get saved? Man, please, I haven't got it. You know, that's God opening doors that we can't shut. Right? That's the Philadelphian church era. And that's when God was his favorite one. And the next one is his most hated one. Use it up. Makes him sick. How can we go from God's best to his worst and not even know it? Well, I can't preach that sermon either. But I'll tell you what. You know what's replaced the Bible in most people's homes? Different Bible versions. No. Music. You get up in the morning and you want to listen to Christian music or whatever you like to listen to, whatever. If you've done that before you read your Bible, you know what you're doing? You're replacing your Bible with good, clean, godly music. See what the devil can do? You've even got good taste in your music. See, God, the devil can still use that stuff. If you go through that Bible and you find out the work of the Spirit, where all the works the Holy Spirit's going to do in your life, all the things He'll do, He'll guide your truth and comfort you and just all those things. You can almost substitute the word music and almost all of it. And music would do the same thing. You need comfort? You had a rough day? And I hear you, every time I've been here twice. The few times I've been here, I'm just amazed at all the problems and difficulties and health situations that exist in your church family. And all church families out here. So, do those people invite Pastor come over here and bring a couple CDs with you, will you please? I need some comfort. Where do people turn to for comfort? You have a bad day at school, what do you do? Come home and turn on some music? Or do you get to that Bible? See, the Holy Spirit's going to guide us into all truth, amen? He's going to do it through the Bible, not through your CD player. Now, there's a purpose for that music. I can't get into that tonight. But if you're using it instead of your Bible, ever wonder why he's knocking on the door for fellowship? Your music's getting between you and the Lord. But Pastor, it's good music. You know, whatever. Like they tell your kids to go take the garbage out and you go up there and clean the garage. Did they do right? No. And they're going to come back and say, I didn't get the garbage out. Did y'all see the garage? It's beautiful. And then the dad gets up, but you didn't take out the garbage. Ungrateful father. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. Ever wonder why he's knocking on the door? He wants to suffer. That means it's because we're not suffering with him. And maybe you think you're suffering with him when you listen to some music. But I'll show you that's not the case. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3:16. It's only 7:30 according to my clock. We're going to go to just do a couple of them. Boy, I like to do There's about six major serious verses that really say it all about music. And I won't do them all, I don't think. Colossians 3:16 is a major one. I won't park, I'll just give you the verse. I'll show you the highlight, we'll go on. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Most important three words in that verse are not psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. It's word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Which the most important thing is the text, the words. It's the word of Christ that we need to dwell on. Amen? You piano playing kids growing up to be piano accompanists and all that kind of stuff? Listen, your music is not as important as the words that are going to be sung with that thing. Or they're not as important as the words that people are going to think of when you play that song. Okay? Now, for example, I guess. What is that? What's that? In the garden. Now, the older you are, the more you love that song. And that's a blessing to hear that song. Because people think right away, in the garden. That's it. I wish I was in the garden. And a lot of people know that song. And it's just a blessing to them. Okay? Amen? But I wonder if maybe, I can't even do this very well, but maybe you get my point here. Fancy arrangements, amen? Boy, that was nice. I didn't even think of the words. Just fancy. We are getting pretty talented, amen, in our Christianity. We take piano lessons, and we got orchestras coming in the churches now. And you know what's being taken away in our churches? Not only in its preaching, but in its music too. Go to an old folks' home or a retirement center, play some of the old stuff, and some of those ladies will say, "I haven't heard that thing for 20 years." You're being a blessing. And it's not the arrangement that's being the blessing. So let me give you this real quick, like here. Melody. You know what melody is? I mean in music. Melody, right? Melody pleases God. How can you say such a thing? Because all the verses in the Bible that talk about music use the word melody. Making what in your heart? Harmony. That's pretty. And I'll preach in a sermon that the harmony pleases man. It does. And if you go to Philippians 4:8 is a description of what your music ought to be. There is a music that can fit Philippians 4:8. But see, I can't talk about that tonight because we need to talk about the language of music. How many here know what those dots mean in that hymn book when your pastor says, "Get out your hymn book," and you open it up because everybody else does. And you look down there and you see the words, but that other stuff just looks like mini 22 bullet holes or something in there. It's just, how many don't know what those dots mean, really? I really don't know what they mean. Isn't that amazing? Now those dots are telling somebody how to manipulate you. So if you keep the harmonies clean, that's clean stuff. Philippians 4:8. See that note in there? That doesn't fit. It's a jazz chord. I can't do that. Take the time tonight. You play some chords, and those chords make you. Yeah, I'll do this one. Let's see here. Try to go to the ending. Anybody feel like we're not done? Now we're done. music will get you to feel something, and then they'll mess with your feelings. Harmony pleases man, Philippians 4:8. Melody pleases God, and the rhythm appeals to the flesh, and we know that flesh profiteth nothing. So God gets no enjoyment, no blessing whatsoever out of the flesh. That's why He cuts it away from us. Amen? He can't come in us else to get rid of it. So that all said and done, if you want to know a little bit about the musical element of it, melody pleases God, harmony pleases man, and rhythm pleases the devil. You got to have all three. If you have those things up, you don't have to have harmony, but you know what you take? You know what you get when you take out harmony and rhythm? New Age. What do you get when you take out melody and harmony? Rap. What do you get when you take out melody and rhythm? You get a church choir. Because all they're concerned about is singing the right parts. The choir director doesn't want you singing something that doesn't fit the chord. So the choir spend all their time rehearsing correct notes and harmonies in the whole thing. And if you're not careful, the choir won't even know what they're singing, but they're sure singing it nice. I did a song a long time ago, what was that called? The 15-20 verse thing back in New York. Arise My Soul. Arise My Soul, arise. You know that one? I found a bunch of verses that Charles Wesley wrote and got the syllables, all that kind of thing down, and added like 10 more verses to this thing. And the choir did not want to sing this thing. It's like, Paulson, this thing is really dull. It's just four-part harmony, and it's 10, 15 verses. In the olden days, they used to sing 20 and 30 verses in their songs, by the way. They had one tune and 20 verses. And if I had the time, which I don't, I would do that with you tonight. And by the time you're done singing that song, you would have, the hymn, you would have totally forgotten about the melody, because y'all know the melody 15, 20 times. You don't even think about the melody. You're preaching, and God's preaching to you in that song. Because the Word of Christ is what's richly dwelling in you, the words. You get your mind off the tune. So, that's the language of music. So we do need to learn a little bit about the language of music, but I haven't got the time to teach that to you tonight. Wow. That's nice of you. Come here and tell us that the Lord's wanting to hear some music. The devil's going to mess with it. I'm like a barbarian who don't know how to deal with the voice of music, and the Lord's still knocking, and you're not going to tell us how to do it. No. I haven't got the time. You see that in Colossians 3:16? The Word of Christ is more important than the music. I don't get it. If a person looks at most modern Christian songs, all they have to do is look at the words, and there's something wrong. If you go back to Steve Green, years and years ago, that dates us right there, or if you go back to some of these other people, their music, people asked me back in New York, they said, what do you think of this guy? I thought, okay, I spent the $6 when I bought the cassette, looked at the word NIV. What is this? I didn't know it. This guy's terrible. Sang pretty music, had some good ones, some bad ones, that kind of stuff. But he's NIV. Bible tells us, all he goes.
Amen.
Right. If people would have based their whole thinking on music 20 years ago, we wouldn't be having the stuff in our churches today if they would have just looked at it from a biblical standpoint. Forget the music and the notes and the dots. You don't have to be a musician to understand how to deal with music, by the way. They're not biblically sound. Dump them. Just a simple, but it's a good song. Okay, this is a good song, but this one he wrote's a bad song. This has got Pentecostal flavoring. Okay, we won't sing this one. We'll sing this one. No, we won't. The whole thing goes. That's what the Bible says. From such what? Turn away. Withdraw thyself. And we've got people in our Baptist hymn books that we wouldn't have had 10 years ago. But they just took the good ones of those guys. A long time ago, when the Steve Green put out a song, and it was a junky song, and some of the teenagers were listening to it, and I tried to tell them it wasn't right, blah, 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 blah. And then, how's this thing go? Then they kind of went along with it because you just kind of have to when you're a teen, if they're obedient kind of kid type of thing. And then the pastor pulled up another song that he did that was a nice song. It was a good song. harmony was fine. There's just nothing wrong with that song at all. And you know what that teenager came to me and said? See, that guy is all right. 10 bad songs, 2 good songs, that guy's all right. No, he's not. Scripture take care of that thing. You could go through your hymn book, and you could find some authors, some composers in there, and you probably want to chuck them because of who they are. They're doing Pentecostal heroes. Well, that's worse than talking about Southern hollering, isn't it? I'm amazed at how much of those folks have come into our church.
Amen.
You know where else they're at? You might not even know this. I started it, okay. Your kids. What does a lazy parent usually do for their kids? Want to give them a Bible? I'll go get them a video.
Yeah.
A Bible video. But Tim, you're going to get me in trouble back there, amen, because it just gets me into this stuff, you know. You know, Veggie Tales. Pass the Pipe. I bet you it's Veggie Tales. I can't do that sermon either. I can show you some examples of some downright wrong doctrine in those little veggies. And Pat started out so well. But just like it says in Timothy, in latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And they just kind of slowly brought in the beat. Slowly. Why do you think everybody's going to a movie now that even they know scripturally is wrong? They've been trained visually. This doesn't mean as much like it used to. And now you're just talking about opinion. This is just your opinion. If I could have a couple of days of this thing, it would no longer be opinion to you. What is the vanity of your mind? How do you think in the vanity of your mind? You don't read your Bible. Bible-believing people think like lost people when it comes to music. Honestly, they don't know what to do. And that's all it is. And that's why I'm trying to show people what the Bible says about music. Okay, show us something else about the Bible that says about music. And be quiet. Okay, let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Now, I bet you all know the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's how you know it, right? These guys were... Daniel was caught praying, shouldn't have been doing it, and Hillary got upset and said, go arrest him. And then these three guys, he tossed in the fire. Well, they didn't bow down to an image. There we go. They didn't bow down to an image. Right? But there's an image they were supposed to bow down. Now, Daniel chapter 3, I think it's around verse 5, and maybe around 11, and probably around 15 too, I think there are 10 or 15 somewhere there. At least I know it's 5, right? Back to that where that's at. At the sound of the what? What else? What else? What else? What else? Now, instruments, right? Keep going. Keep going. Oh! Right there. Pow! All kinds of music. Not just good or bad. All kinds of music. That's all you need to know. There's an example right there that says good music can get you to bow down to the devil. Why do you suppose the Lord is knocking to talk with us? Something's come between us and the Lord. Wonder if some of it isn't music. I wonder if some of it isn't good music. I don't know. Something we could find out someday. Here's one. Let's go to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers, that's Old Testament. We don't do Old Testament here. We're going to tonight. And I'll bet you do anyway. King James guys go from page 1 to page tomorrow. Numbers chapter 20. You know the story. Moses. By the way, you know why your kids, if you ask them to draw a picture of Moses tonight, you know what they'd all draw? Whatever their videos and picture stories and books you've bought them, told them what he looks like. What's wrong with that? Well, I didn't usually think there's anything wrong with that, but I'm seeing people go to movies now that they know are wrong.
Amen.
They're falling for pictures. The word is beguiled. Paul says, listen, don't you get beguiled by the subtlety of the devil. And beguiled means tricked by entertainment. So we're being duped out of our book by entertainment. And you guys are adults, most of you, and you can deal with that sort of stuff. My concern is our little kids right here. How many are going to be around doing that? I know a lot of teenagers in King James, Bible-believing only churches, that when they get to a certain age, they're gone. There's lots of reasons for it. I think one of them is their music. You know what? Maybe it's not even their music. Maybe it's the parents' music. They go to church and hear this preach, and amen, and do this, and then they go home and they turn on such his name. Something doesn't work right. Kids are not stupid, you know. I taught enough years to teenagers, they get you paid before the first bell rings. And they know when you're spoofing them. And they know when parents don't really mean what they amen.
Amen, right.
They know what you tell them about music. You can't listen to that kind of music, and then they hear us listen to what we listen to. And if we don't listen to it on purpose, they at least don't see us shut it off.
Amen.
It's just something that we teach our children. Most kids go sour because they were taught to go sour. Most kids go good because they were taught to go good. David's a blessing because he went gooder than I taught him to be. I'm thrilled. And yet David and I have talked about music. And I know for a fact that David doesn't know a lot of the stuff that God has shown me in the last couple of years about music, because he's off fighting some war. I just pray God get a hold of him on this thing. I can't live much longer. Here comes the violin now, you know. I can't imagine going on the road now. I want to go to churches and talk about music. I want to go to churches and show what the Bible says about music. Pray that God find somebody too. Thomas was a good man, amen. Thomas was one of my music students way back in New York. And he's come here, he's preached to you guys about it pretty well. So how you doing? You know all the Bible verses about music? Are you going to go on the vanity of your mind? What about this Moses? And get back on trail here. Moses, what did he do the first time? He obeyed and it was good, amen. What did he do the second time? He still got water. But he disobeyed. He whacked the rock. He struck the rock. He wasn't supposed to do that. Shouldn't have done it that way, Moses. But Aaron, look at all the water we got. Oh, it was all right then. No, it wasn't. It even says water came abundantly. People flock into the churches of this music. You can get people to come to this church because of your choir. And as soon as he preaches a hard message, poof, says right there in Luke chapter 8, next verse, lest it be saved. The next one says, they didn't have any roots. Put a little fire under them, and they're gone. Well, you can do stuff to get them in. There's some stuff in the Bible about, a testimony, etc. So I'm not saying that. But if some of you folks are coming here because of the church choir, or the pianist, or the organist, or maybe you're coming here because of Dave, such a good associate pastor. Maybe you're coming for the cakes you get once in a while. Marvelous cakes. You know? What's your reason for coming? Well, we grow as Christians, amen? If you're here, you're here. And if you think I'm just nutting a fruitcake over this music stuff, read your Bible.
Amen.
Don't get mad at him. He didn't know I was going to talk about tonight. He didn't know I was going to mention Patch. He didn't want to talk about good music being a problem. Well, man, Pastor, if you can't listen to good music and you can't listen to bad music, what am I supposed to do? Read your Bible. I've got another, sir. I preach on perfect music. You know that there is a perfect music out there? I mean, when we play this music that fits Philippians 4:8, 20 after, okay. When we get in there and that music fits Philippians 4:8, we're still doing chords. We're still doing a dominant seventh, which leads you to the first chord, the tonic, and it's still working a little bit. Handel and Mozart and those guys. Clean stuff. But it was still man's stuff. Amen? It fits Philippians 4:8. It's all right. But you suppose there's a music that, when it's played, actually just flat pleases the Lord? Perfect music. It has to be from Him, amen? We can do it. And I was talking with Gail Ripplinger one time on the phone, and she was telling me about this book she was writing, and she had no clue what she was telling me, and it just clicked. Gail, you are telling me that this Bible has all the elements of music. This King James Bible's got a rhythm to it. You read, ever read your Bible and just kind of flows. This Bible is in total harmony.
Amen.
Nothing. There's not a bad chord in this thing.
Amen.
And what does He want you to do? Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His praise in the islands. I just read a single line. You know what a melody is? It's a single line. You want to please God with your music? And if you want to teach your kids what is God's blessed, perfect music, they can take your piano lessons. You can teach them how to do Philippians 4:8. We can learn those sorts of things. They need to read their Bible about music and. But they need to realize that right here is God's perfect music. Everything that you can get out of music, you can get out of here. Whenever you listen to music, you'll get it right here. That's God's perfect music. You want to make music in God's... Isn't that how that phrase goes? Making that's music to my ears? Don't sit down at the piano. Get off your Bible. Dave, you can mind picking on? Good. Read this with me right here. Verse 3. Well, wait, you're going to... This is going to be like Yankees and the Confederates here reading together. But we'll try it. The Lord will strengthen him upon... Come on. You're not trying to read Yankee, right? So can I try to read Southern? Okay. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. We just did a duet.
Amen.
We just did a duet. Perfect music. Even if it was a little Southern time. Amen. Did you see the point? And that's amazing. And for years, everybody's always asked me, well, okay then, Pastor, then what is it that pleases God the most? What should I listen to the most that pleases God? I never had that answer. So, well, I guess Philippians 4:8 is the closest we can get. Handel and Bach and Vivaldi and those guys in the classical. I'll tell you about that some next time. Now, this is His perfect music.
Amen.
You want to teach your kids good music? Read your Bible. You girls read your Bible all the time? See? You have to say yes if your parents are here. Okay. So we have to finish this up. I got to show you one more. I mean, all you can do is make me leave, you know. Quickly, and I mean quickly, let's turn to Amos. Another example, Amos. Now, if you have to go, you can go. David said, Dad, if I'd ever thought you ever preached at this church, it was about a year ago. And I told him, for lots of reasons, right? just before he left, he said, hey, your pastor wants me to preach Monday night, Sunday night about music. He said, serious? He was thrilled. Because he said, man, Dad, a year ago, that never happened. It may never happen again, either one of them. Amos chapter 6. Verse 1, woe to them that are ease in Zion and trust in the Mount of Samaria. Okay, woe to them that are ease in Zion. Then go down to verse 4, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches. There's your couch potato. But look at what they're doing in verse 5. That's a lazy Christian. That ease in Zion. That chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music, comma, like these. Isn't that something? The lazy Christian doing music for themselves. Now, you know what a different Bible does there? Modern Bibles, different editions, etc., etc. They'll take out the comma after music. And they'll throw the word did after David. And bent to themselves of instruments of music like David did. You go back in the Chronicles, you find out that David didn't do that for that reason at all. He made his instruments and his music was for the Lord. He didn't do it for himself at all. You take that modern Bible and you change that thing to instruments of music like David did, you suddenly have scriptural support of Christian contemporary Christian music right there. It's for me. I enjoy it. It gets me excited about the Lord, and my Bible says I can do it. No, it doesn't say that. Your Bible says it can do it, but God doesn't say you can do it. It's not for yourself at all.
Amen.
Doesn't matter whether you like it or not.
Amen.
There's probably some music that God actually likes that you don't. He's knocking on our heart. He wants us stuck with us. And we're out there playing some arrangement. And he just wants to talk to us. Stick to the book. Can I do one more? Sure. You didn't say anything. That's a yes to pastors. They don't say yes or no. You know, one more. One more. This is the classic. 1 Samuel 16. We won't go to Bojangles tonight then. That's all right. This is more important than Bojangles. I can't believe it. I would go tomorrow. 1 Samuel 16, this is a classic. This is 16. That's what I meant. That's right. Verse 14, classic story. 16, 14, all the way down. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And it goes through this whole thing, and they bring in David, who's a cunning musician. And look at verse 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, and Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. There's your example right there, that music can bless you physically, spiritually, and mentally. Is that not what it's saying there? Music can bless you physically, mentally, and spiritually if you're lost. Because what is it that Saul didn't have? Didn't have the Holy Spirit. Now, have any of you heard that reference as a scriptural backup, the fact that you can play music because it makes you feel better physically? Have you had anybody ever say, that music makes me feel better mentally? It refreshes me. I needed to hear that. Have you heard anybody say that music makes me think of the Lord? When I get spiritually well. How's that doing? Spirit doesn't say that. Made refreshed, made well, and what? Oh, the evil spirit departs. You put in that good music, see, and it drives out all the bad things in your day-to-day things. See, that's why I listen to music all the time. But see, Saul didn't have the Holy Spirit. What do you got? You've got the Holy Spirit. Back in those days in Habakkuk or whatever that, how do you pronounce that thing? Habakkuk out here probably, right? How do you say Habakkuk? Habakkuk? Say it.
Habakkuk.
Oh, all right. Habakkuk. they live by their faith. What it says, he lived by his faith. Whose faith do we live by today? The faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20. The faith of Christ. Who guides us? Holy Spirit. Who comforts us? Holy Spirit. Who's supposed to make us better physically? And if you can, you can. Holy Spirit. Bible reading.
Amen.
What's supposed to make us feel better? What's supposed to do our minds cleaner? Refresh. Bible. Word of God. And what's supposed to take care of us spiritually? I mean, there's no doubt about that. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
Not some great arrangement by some Christian artist. I better stop. We're going to finish this up. How do I finish this? How do I finish this? I've done about 12 sermons here. On John chapter 14, we'll get this thing done. John chapter 14, John chapter 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to work effectually in you that believe. Why am I trying to get people to read their Bible about music? And I usually have my paperwork with me to give people all the verses. I challenge them to look them up and just ask the Lord to show you something. Don't even show me anything that preacher guy says. You show me something in my Bible reading about music. If I can get people to do that, I've done all I can do. I can show you this stuff. I can teach you this stuff. You can be mad about my comments about Pats and Veggie Tales and good music and bad music. And don't understand the dots things and the Lord's dots. Yeah, I talk to him a lot and all this kind of stuff. And if you don't know anything about music, whatever, I can't study it. I'm never going to learn those notes. What am I going to do? Who cares? That's vanity of your mind. Without feeling, without care, as you can. We know that in Thessalonians, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is going to work effectually. It means God will show you. He showed me. And He showed some other people. I should take the time to give you some testimonies. I won't do that. God will show you. Isn't that amazing? God will still show you. John chapter 16, John chapter 14, the Holy Spirit's going to guide. The Holy Spirit's going to guide in the truth. You trusted Him with your soul. You trust Him with this book. Your King James Bible believers. You come to this church. That sort of a thing. Why can't you trust Him concerning music?
Amen.
Give it a try. I'd hand out all those verses if I could, but I can't. Because that Bible will show you a compass. How to please God is an compass. The Bible will show you the characteristics and dangers of the world's music. The Bible will show you a practical application from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Who are those three guys? Noah's son. We learn from those three guys. It'll expose the music that's going on in our churches today. I told you about the Philadelphian Laodicean thing. And the last one, a comment I make. That Bible will show you the influence of the occult on Christian music going into our King James churches. That's a serious statement. Let's finish up in Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Boy, I'd like to do one of those invitations where his head's bowed. And how many feel bad that the Lord's knocking on your heart and you're not taking the time to talk to Him? Up goes the hand. How many of you would really like to know what the Bible says about music? A couple hands go up. For $9.95, I'll sell you a CD that tells you all about it. Isn't that amazing what they're doing out there? You got a Bible in your hand? You got a Bible in your home? You don't need my verses. I can show you the verses. I can get the list. I can give you the pastor. In fact, Jessica has a list. I gave a list to Jessica and somebody else the last time I was here. You can find those things. You really want to know? Because it says right there in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, what are we supposed to live by every day? Oh, you must have a King James Bible. Because see, those other Bibles can't say that. They just tell you not to live by the bread of the what's that say? Bread of the world? I got that. What's that? Bread of the world, right? Bread alone. Okay, now by bread alone, I'm thinking of a Mark where talks about the bread of the Pharisees. Same thing. No. But see, you're King James people. You know the last part of that verse says. Yeah, see? So, if you got anything perked to you tonight about music, even if it made you mad, Dad, he knocked Patch. Patch is good. He's got good character. He's a good guy. He probably is, but the music is getting really bad. What's wrong with that? I can't tell you anymore. I'm going to be quiet. Oh, man. I'm just relaxing. I'm not going to cry anymore because of David. I told you, thanks. You know, and Pastor let me talk to you about music. Isn't that amazing what's going on in music? My daughter's going back to the same thing. Dad, he never preached this sort of message. What can we do tonight? Not much. I got no materials to hand out to you. I could talk for more, but you're tired of it. I'm hot. You must be dying. I get to move. You can't. I might be dead in 2 days flying back to Washington. You still got your Bible. What do you have at home? I do have a little bit of music. Here's my personal testimony. I have learned that in Acts chapter 16, 19, that when you throw something in your life, out of your life, it's either of the world or got some worldliness in it, the Word of God will prevail.
Amen.
So if you fill something up, you get more light. You know what happens when you get more light? You see more dust. Well, you throw out the dirt. You didn't see the dirt yesterday. So throw out the dirt, you know what he does? You get more light.
Amen.
So what you know what you do? You see more dirt. You throw it out after a couple of weeks. You get tired of cleaning house, ladies, amen? You ever wipe up dirt every time you see it? Sometimes you ladies think that house is clean, the sun comes up, hits that window just right, and it's all floating through the air, and it's all, you can already draw your finger on the top of the piano. And you always get off that spray and go right at it right away? If you want to. The Lord was showing you some dirt, possibly, tonight, about music. I don't know what he talked about tonight, but I don't understand anything about music. I don't want my kids being barbarianated by barbarians. I don't know what they're getting out of that piece of music they're listening to. I better get rid of it until I know. It's gone. You know what you might get the next couple days, next couple weeks of reading? You might show you some more light in that Bible that nobody taught you. Pastor didn't say anything to you. I didn't say anything to you. Wouldn't that be something if God spoke to you?
Amen.
What's he doing? He's knocking on your door. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to sup with you. You might not be able to because of your music. You might have everything else together. Dress right, talk right, smell right, eat right. Got the right friends, go to the right church, got the right book. You didn't even know it. But you're having trouble because of your music. If in doubt, throw it out. What do they say nowadays? If in doubt, if I work for you, try it. You don't need that. Bible believers know better. Here's my challenge. Dad, don't put it on us. Why not? That's where it's supposed to go. You guys know that here. What have you got for music at home? Well, I don't know. Whew, better throw it out quick. Well, some of us are right. Okay. Tomorrow morning. Pastor, who is this guy? You come over and tell me if this music is all right. Oh, cut it out. How old are you? Can't you tell yourself? Can't you decide? You got to bug your pastor about all this? Poor guy. He hardly sees his sweetheart anymore anyway. How do I do? Here again. If you can't see him, he marries him off. So, okay, you're limited. You can be gone here pretty quick. Don't put this on your pastor. Don't call him up and say, what do you think of this group? Or choir director, don't ask your pastor, what do you think of this song? If you've got any doubts at all, don't do it. And then ask God, teach me. What can we do? Now, but there goes 90% of your file. Remember all he's done for you? Don't you want to talk to him?
No.
You might throw some music out that God would have let you do. Wouldn't that be awful? What if you kept the music that God didn't want you to do? That's awful. Hello? Hello? Can I talk to you tonight about music? I hope so. I hope when you leave tonight, your desire is not just to go home and attack the music thing in your house. It's to find out what the Bible says about music.
Amen.
Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19. We did a couple other ones there. Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Ask God. Ask Him today. Lord, what was He saying? Is He right? This is. It is so hard to quit. And I don't need this anymore. Amen. And you don't want it back? I can get more handkerchiefs that way, Fisher. Oh, I'm sure it is, yeah. For me, it would be. Yeah, I'm sorry for going so late. Amen.
My life is over.
Amen.